For taking a look at a special report on the bodies of water in the Milwaukee River Basin. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel just released a four-part series on the health of those waters. The Milwaukee River is apparently cleaner and more economically valuable than it has been in about 100 years, but it still faces a lot of challenges.
Lee Berquist joins us now. He's an environmental reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and one of the authors of the report. Lee, welcome back to Central Time.
Oh, thanks a lot. It's great to be back.
Well, let's start off by getting a sense of the waterways we're talking about. Which rivers are involved, and where do they flow through?
Well, we're talking about the Milwaukee, the Menominee, and the Kinnickinnick rivers. And we, in the Milwaukee area, generally refer to that as the Milwaukee River Basin. The Milwaukee starts way up as far as the southern reaches of Fond du Lac County and Sheboygan County as well. You wouldn't know it at all from the river you see when you're in downtown Milwaukee. It's quite pastoral, quite agrarian. Some reaches of it there are trout in them, trout streams, the character slowly changes as you move to the south. The Menominee starts in kind of north and west of Milwaukee a little bit. It goes right past Miller Park and then moves upward to the north and to the west a bit. And then the Kinnickinnick comes from a little bit to the southeast, just a few miles, and then they all meet in downtown Milwaukee before they empty out into the harbor and into Lake Michigan.
How would you describe the overall health of these waterways involving the Milwaukee River Basin today?
Well, I think when you say the overall health, then you'd have to say that it is it's better than it used to be, but there still is more work to be done. And it really is a different picture in different parts of the river. And I think that is true in many urban areas, but there are some spots that are doing quite well and others that are quite troubled.
Now, you talked about the past being more problematic in terms of the health of these rivers. What kinds of issues were we looking at historically? What kinds of things were polluting the rivers?
Well, it was a great place back when Native Americans were here. Then the Menominee River was a vast wetland where it's now the Menominee Valley. But once we became industrialized, we really used, like many cities, we used the river as our sewer, and everything was dumped into it from factories and from our homes, and I don't have the quote in front of me, but historian John Gerda had written a passage that we used in our series that basically talked about how animal waste and parts of animals and anything you could think of was just dumped right into the rivers, and that's what really started to change the character of it. But when I say that, still, in the 20s and the 30s, the Milwaukee River on the north side near Riverside Park was really a playground for people that couldn't get up north. The river people were still swimming in that river, using it as a recreational playland. And just over time, all of that pollution began to take its toll on the rivers.
How important would you say these waterways are to southeast Wisconsin today?
Oh, I think today, particularly, well, they all are from an ecological perspective. But if one was to talk about it from an economic perspective, the Milwaukee is, and the Menominee especially, are quite important. In our series, we reported that the value of property on the Milwaukee right along the river increased 150% between 2001 and 2013. That added more than $520 million in value to the property tax base. Well, that compares to the city as a whole during that same period, a little over a decade, of about 44%. That river, the Milwaukee River, has been just a magnet for development.
And let's go back and look at when things began to turn around a little bit. The Clean Water Act of 1972, how did that begin to change things for the Milwaukee River Basin?
Well, it changed things because it really gave the force of law for the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, and the DNR to require that stuff that we just emitted into the water had to be limited in some way. And primarily that came from sewage treatment plants and from factories. And there was vast restrictions on how much, on the limits of what people could put in those waters without treating it. And so those pollutants have been sharply reduced since 72. And it wasn't like overnight. This was something that has taken time to do with literally billions in investment in infrastructure to reduce these pollutants that are discharged into the river.
And what pollutants are we talking about here primarily?
Well, I guess bacteria, many forms of bacteria are one big measure. The fecal coliform is one that we talk about a lot in the series. Nitrates, which is a form of nitrogen comes from chemicals. Or from farm chemicals, but I guess from what's been reduced, a lot of it has been bacteria has been the main one of the main areas of reduction. And then on a separate front, a lot of the toxic chemicals that were used in manufacturing PCBs, for example, they were restricted, they were banned from use, so that they could no longer be used in industrial processes. And then since that time, there's been projects on both the Milwaukee and the Kinnickinnick to remove certain areas, big swaths of that on the bottom of the rivers in certain areas of the two rivers.
And so despite the progress that has been made with the Clean Water Act that went into effect in 1972, just over half the waters in the Milwaukee River Basin, they're still failing some water quality tests. What are the flashpoints that really need to be addressed here as we go forward?
Well, I think there's a couple of them. One is road salt. When we did this series, we looked at water quality data from the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewerage District. It provides... It does the most thorough testing of water quality on the three rivers of any entity in the region. We looked back at that for the last 30 years, and while you see ups and downs with various measures of pollutants, without a question, road salt has gone up during that time.
And we're going to pause and come back and keep talking about some of the challenges facing the Milwaukee River Basin. We're talking to environmental reporter Lee Berquist about the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel special series, Rivers Reborn.
And we want to hear from you. What would you like to see done to improve the waters in the Milwaukee River Basin? Have you been watching the progress of the river for years, maybe decades? What have you seen change? Call in and let us know at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email talk@wpr.org.
We're picking up our conversation on the health of the waters in the Milwaukee River Basin with environmental reporter Lee Berquist.
And you can join the conversation. What would you like to see done to improve the waters in the Milwaukee River Basin? Have you noticed an improvement in water quality in those rivers? If you're outside of the Milwaukee area, is there a similar story to tell in your part of the state? Call in and let us know at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. 1234. You can also email talk@WPR.org.
And before we went to the news, Lee, we were talking about the Kinnikinnick River and some of the difficulties there battling pollution. What are some of the efforts being taken to get that river back in cleaner health?
Well, with the KK, as we call it here in Milwaukee, or the Kinnikinnick, I think the one was a project that was completed a couple of years ago to I think about $10 million to remove polychlorinated biphenyls, or PCBs, from the river at about First Street. That is something that will have some help to the river in the long term. The best thing, and there's also been a project to remove a lot of the concrete that lined the KK River upstream, and by return it to a more natural style of river. Besides that, I think for the KK, the most important thing to do is to do anything that will slow down the non-point pollution, or the kinds of pollution that washes off the ground and eventually into storm sewers and into the rivers. Anything that can be done and is being done to reduce that amount, that type of pollutant, will make that river better, and that's kind of what planners are trying to do.
Let's go to the phones now. We have a call from Dave in Barton. Hi, Dave.
Hello. I was involved in the removal of the Barton Dam back in the early 90s. I was on the town board, and at the time, the town board had chosen to ignore the DNR request to do something about either improving the dam or getting rid of it. And it was very cost-effective to get rid of it, and since then, the people that live in that general area are a lot happier that the fishing has improved, the water quality is better, and it's not just a stagnant mud hole up there anymore.
All right. Thank you for your story, Dave. And that's something that's been happening in the Milwaukee River Basin, the removal of dams. How has that been playing out?
Well, it's always, dam removal is always a political, is always political. On the Milwaukee, there's been a dam removed in West Bend, and another one at Lime Kiln in Grafton. But in downtown Grafton, they've kept a dam there. There's still another dam that they've kept in Thiensville, but they have a beautiful fish passage around that whole dam, where if you go on the website of Ozaukee County, you can see photos. They have photos as fish come through that fish passage, and you wouldn't believe the fish that are moving up that river. And then in Milwaukee, right now there's a big debate about the Esterbrook Dam, and whether that should be demolished or it should be repaired. And in each instance, there's almost inevitably been a fight in every case. Water quality does seem to improve when this does happen, that's for sure. I guess the North Avenue Dam is the best example in Milwaukee, where that was dammed up, and then when the dam was removed, it's really transformed that section of the river on the east side and near north side of Milwaukee.
Now, I want to move to some of the solutions that are being proposed. There are a few different aspects here. One of them is using green projects to capture the runoff that's coming into these rivers. What kinds of projects are being looked at so far?
These are projects mostly that would be like green roofs or swales or vegetation that's planted near streets and alleys, and then some are more elaborate, where parking lots are been retooled to capture all of the water and then reuse that water for a later time. There's people that are talking about, and this has not yet happened, but talking about using a lot of the water from a building and that comes off the building and reusing it again for watering of plants and so forth. This is something that is just, we've been doing it for some time, but it's going to, I think, in the next decade, really become a much bigger part of a remedy to clean up our rivers.
And another thing that's being looked at is ending state law exceptions that allow, in some cases, for more water pollution to be allowed.
Yeah, they're called variances, or they're exceptions to this right in state law that, for example, in downtown Milwaukee, you can have higher oxygen and higher levels of dissolved oxygen and bacteria in the water, and that was probably a very good good rule at one time because there was no way that the rivers were going to meet that standard. Years ago, but as things have improved, in many cases they can meet those standards. And so, what environmentalists are arguing is that we should give those areas a more stringent standard now, so that then those who emit water into the system, factories, the sewage district, and others, will have to have a restrict a little bit about, they also will be held to a higher standard as well.
Now, Lee, earlier you mentioned that people had been playing and recreating in general in waterways that were pretty polluted. Is that still the case? Is it safe to play in a lot of these rivers now that we're talking about? Or is there more work that needs to be done?
Well, there's more work that needs to be done. But, there are certainly in downtown Milwaukee on a hot summer night, there can be scores, if not hundreds, of boats that people are motoring up and down the river and out into the lake. And there is now a kayak company that people are kayaking up and down the river all summer long. The Milwaukee Rowing Club has been rowing for decades on that river, but certainly those who are rowing today are rowing in a much cleaner river than the 60s or 70s. But swimming, I don't see anybody doing backstrokes on the Milwaukee River at this point right now.
Not ready yet.
No.
All right. Lee, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Thank you.
We've been talking to Lee Bergquist, environmental reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.